Well, good morning.
Morning.
As aforementioned, I'm Evan Offit-Bosiger, and if you think you recognize that name or this great face, you probably do. From about 30 years ago, I grew up in this church and know some of the best hiding spots for sardines and capture the flag, and also got to spend a lot of time in Noah's Ark. I volunteered in the duck room, and then my first job was working with the kangaroos. And so I spent some time investing in the elementary kids there, and it was part of the projection that leads me to stand before you here today as a pastor. And so I'm so grateful for the impact that you had on my life, for the investment that you made in me. And so Todd and I got married earlier this year, and we're just super honored to have the invitation to be with you here today. And so thank you for that. Todd lives in Sydney, and I live there now too, but I was in Oklahoma. And when I was there, we talked a lot about being a good neighbor. What does it mean to invest in those relationships, to know our neighbors, our coworkers, excuse me, and neighbor well, if I can use it as a verb. And so I think that's something that's good for all churches, right? And I've been hanging out in the Old Testament in my devotional time, and so when Pastors Brian and Doug invited me to preach, I had an idea of what God might have for us today, and that's something really, really practical. Because I think the idea that God wants us to know our neighbors, that's not difficult to grasp. As recorded in Matthew 22, Jesus said that the second greatest commandment is to love our neighbors as ourselves. It was second only to loving God with everything we have. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." All you've got. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. All 613 Old Testament laws hang on two. So my hope and challenge for us today is that these commandments could become more of a reality in our lives, right? Because as Beth Moore so beautifully says, our theology, God's word, isn't just meant to be added to our theology, but to be sown into our reality. Isn't that beautiful? It's not just to add to our knowledge, it's to shape and to form us as people. And to be clear and to be fair, I said, you know, this isn't a difficult thing to grasp, like that God wants us to do it, but practically, it can be super hard, right? Because while relationships can be helpful and life-giving and wonderful, they're work, and sometimes a lot of work, and sometimes they're a pain, and sometimes they are painfully difficult. And so today, I believe that God might be asking you to step into someone else's mess or be vulnerable and courageous enough to open up and invite someone into your own chaos, beautiful or not. So before we jump in, could we take a moment and just commit ourselves anew to the Lord? Would you pray with me? Let's take a deep breath. God, as we are gathered together this morning, we're reminded of your invitation to abundant life, to the narrow road that leads to freedom, to walk in step with your spirit and to enjoy the fruit that will be produced in our lives as we do so. God, I ask that you would help us to love our neighbor, and that you'd help us to want to love our neighbor. We commit ourselves to you again. We invite you to have your way, to speak and to convict and to challenge us. We pray for the courage and humility to be obedient. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So if I was to title this message, it would be, "Won't You Be My Neighbor?" Not only because I love Mr. Rogers, but because in addition to the command to love our neighbors, this message is an invitation. An invitation to believe God as he has revealed himself to us in Scripture and in our lives, and to reap the benefits of obeying him, to love our neighbor, and to trust that God is still at work in the world. And so for today, we're going to look at the sixth Old Testament book of Joshua. So if you have your Bibles or if it's on your phone, you can turn with me there. And we'll begin in chapter 2. So normally, we'd have the text on the screens, or I'd have it on the screens. But today I want to try something a little different. I want to invite you to close your eyes. I promise nothing weird will happen. Close your eyes and picture this. If you need to read along, we'll start in chapter 2. Picture this. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent 2 spies from Shittim. "Go look over the land," he said, "especially Jericho." So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, "Look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land." So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab: "Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land." But the woman had taken the 2 men and hidden them. She said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they'd come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them." But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, "I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did in Sihon and Og, the 2 kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death." "Our lives for your lives," the men assured her. "If you don't tell what we're doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land." So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. She said to them, "Go to the hills so that the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there for 3 days until they return, and then go on your way." Now the men had said to her, "This oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless, when we enter the land, you have tied the scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers, and all your family into your house. If any of them go outside your house into the street, their blood will be on their own heads. We will not be responsible. As for those who are in the house with you, their blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell them what we're doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear." "Agreed," she replied. "Let it be as you say." So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. When they left, they went into the hills and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers had searched all along the road and returned without finding them. Then the 2 men started back. They went down out of the hills and forded the river and came to Joshua, son of Nun, and told him everything that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, "The Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us." The word of the Lord. So, before we make some observations about Rahab, think for a minute about your neighbors. Or if you don't really have neighbors, think about people with whom you regularly come in contact. Maybe it's coworkers or clients, a receptionist or nurse at your doctor's office. During the school year, maybe it's your teacher or your classmates or other students. Maybe it's your barber, your hairstylist, or otherwise. Think about the people that are around you that you don't live with or aren't related to, but you have contact with them. Ideally a neighbor. You got it? Got somebody in mind? Okay, so now with them in mind, let's make some observations about Rahab and listen for what the Lord might have to say to us. So first of all, she was an outsider. She may have looked different, or even if she did have a similar skin tone, she was culturally different than them. Is that true of any of your neighbors? Those of you who knew my dad maybe remember that he talked a little bit funny. Whenever we moved somewhere, people would say, "You talk funny." He said things like "heel" instead of "hill," or "peel" instead of "pill," as in medication. He talked funny. And people quickly picked up that he wasn't from around these parts. His muddled southern accent gave him away. Outsider may mean they're not from around here, or as in this state or this part of the country, or maybe they're not from this country at all. Sometimes outsiders look the same as me and my family, but might have a totally different worldview or life experience. And sometimes they don't look the same at all. Maybe they don't even speak the same language, and they definitely have a different outlook and different life experience, right? Even as an outsider, Rahab welcomed the spies, and they allowed themselves to be received by her. See, sometimes we need to make the invitation, and sometimes we need to accept the invitation that's been extended to us. Rahab also had different standards. Her occupation was immoral, and we don't always know people's shortcomings or immorality, but some things make it pretty easy to observe, right? Or pass judgment, whether it's what they do or don't do, particularly with lawn care, the company they keep, how they raise their kid, the flags they fly, or any number of other things, especially if you're nosy, you know some things about them, right? And maybe you have an opinion on those things too. When I was a children's pastor at a couple churches in the past, and we spent a season with kids talking about the idea of peace. And the definition that we gave was peace is proving you care more about others than winning an argument. Peace is proving you care more about others than winning an argument. And I had an example here in the sermon. I'd sent the notes in and the slides in earlier in the week, and then the Supreme Court handed down a decision. Friends, can I say that this is a time for grace and not a victory lap? Like high school commencement, where you spend all these years and you get to graduation and you think, "I'm done." Rather, it's a commencement. It's just a starting point to show grace and love and care for our neighbors. And for those of us who call ourselves pro-life, this is a beautiful and wonderful time to be pro-life and to care for those around us. We have neighbors and family and friends for whom this Supreme Court decision feels like a blow. What would happen if we responded in love and caring concern for them and not just thought that we had good news because of the decision that was made, but we have good news because of who Jesus is and what he wants to do in the lives around us. A final note on this, I love the way one commentary articulated the response to Rahab's occupation. It said, probably the Lord was not as much interested in what Rahab was as in what she was becoming. Probably. Probably the Lord was not as much interested in what Rahab was as in what she was becoming. Rahab also recognized God's favor on them. That same commentary shared, God works wonders with those who heed the revelation he makes of himself. Todd is a scientist, and one of the things that he comes back to over and over again as he explains all sorts of things that I otherwise wouldn't understand is he says over and over again, all creation speaks of thee. Whether he's looking at a fossil the size smaller than a red blood cell, or the mountains, he says, all creation speaks of thee. How can we become more aware of God revealing himself around us? See, this wasn't ultimately about the spies. It was about the way God was revealing himself through them. In the letter to the Colossians, Paul tells about his labors for the church and mentions his suffering and serving. And then he says, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Did you catch that? Christ in you, the hope of glory. One of my pastor friends calls this the ministry of presence. To those of us who follow Christ, we have the Holy Spirit living and working and moving in and through us. Simply by being, the hope of Christ can shine through us. See, my intention today isn't about you inviting your neighbors to church. It's about inviting them into your life. My mom was super awesome at this. She and a couple of her neighbors shared a lot of life. They cared for each other and about each other. So much so that even in her unexpected passing, they have rallied around us, her kids, to help take care of the property and to check in on us. Because what they would do is they would just drop by, text, call, and just kind of help take care of each other, right? Mom would take her one elderly neighbor to get groceries or to doctor's appointments. All through COVID, she cut her hair. And then the other neighbors, which are younger than my parents, they helped mow the lawn. It was a give and a take. They cared about each other. Dad edited our next door neighbor, he was working on a master's program, and Dad would edit his papers for him. And his wife was super thankful because she was bored out of her mind by those papers. It was a give and take. And so maybe the challenge for you today is something like that, to really develop deep friendships with your neighbors. Or maybe it's more like the neighbors across the road from my parents who work full-time and are super busy and doing their stuff. They have an ornery red cow. They have a bunch of cows, but they have an ornery red cow who got out all the time and, like, be walking down the road. And so Mom would get on the phone. Sometimes she had to look up the number when she didn't have it. She finally just wrote it down because it's like, your cow's out again. But she helped look out for them. And when they found out that my dad passed away, they brought cookies and sent a letter and said, how can we help? And even mowed the lawn a few times. In other words, you don't have to be best friends with your neighbors, though maybe you already are. And you don't have to invite them to church, though. From what I've seen and experienced, y'all are a good bunch. I think they'd be welcomed here. And statistics tell us that the vast majority of people would accept a personal invitation to church. But again, my intention today is that we would simply be present, that we would show up and let God's love shine through us. Another thing, another observation, is that Rahab was the key to what God wanted to do in their lives. I think as Christ followers, there's a lot of times that it's easy to go like, I don't know what God's doing in here, but I want to be a part of it, which is beautiful. But the reality was God was using Rahab to do something in their lives. I think this is true on a few levels. First of all, she literally saved their lives by hiding them, right? They were coming out. But she also affirmed what God was doing among his people. And that affirmation was so significant that they seemingly didn't even feel the need to carry out the rest of their spy duties. They just got the word from her, and then they hightailed it back. And when they got to Joshua, they're like, listen, she told us everybody's melting in fear. We're good. The experience these spies had helped give me a voice to why neighboring matters. I submit to you three reasons. First of all, I think it's important for you. I think it's important for who you are and who you're becoming, about your own salvation or the ways that God is refining you and helping you become more who he created you to be. I think it's also about your neighbor, who they are, who they're becoming, their family, their salvation, and who God has created them to be. Remember, this saved Rahab's family. But I also believe that this is about God, about his kingdom coming and the way that he breaks barriers. It's about living out kingdom principles and realities now, things like practicing grace and forgiveness and reconciliation, and all the ways that his spirit, the fruit of his spirit, is produced in our lives, like patience and kindness and being people of peace. In the second half of my time living in Germany, as a volunteer missionary, we renovated a small old hotel building for both housing and our offices. But as we got that done, we actually had extra rooms, more than we needed, and so we rented some of the rooms out, which was a win-win. It helped us pay our mortgage, and people had an inexpensive living option, primarily college students, young adults. And people would ask us if only Christians were allowed to live there. And we had some house rules, mostly about mutual respect, but also some tied to our Christian values. But we didn't limit who was allowed to rent. And honestly, in some sense, that provided some accountability for us. Because if we couldn't live out our faith at home and in our everyday lives, how deep did that faith really run? And so we opened up our lives to these renters, and I'll be frank, we got burned sometimes. There was one person who caused a lot of trouble and a lot of headaches, but there were also some people who were really far from God, who we got to see take a step closer, and some of them multiple steps closer to God. It was beautiful. A final thought on Rahab. We talked about how her occupation was immoral and, you know, there were some cultural differences. But there's some other things that Scripture reveals to us about who she was. See, in the New Testament book of James, she's considered righteous for what she did in hiding the spies. And people often talk about her courage. But the thing I didn't see before really spending some time with this passage was her loyalty. See, in the later part of the passage, in verses 14 to 22, the spies pledge loyalty to Rahab, but they're like, if you and then, you know, like they're laying out some pretty clear stipulations. But Rahab's loyalty to them was absolute. She was heroic, and she invites them into an opportunity to be heroic too. Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And that's what the scripture did to me in preparing this message. Let me back up. So, reading comprehension, not my strong suit. I struggled with it in high school. I'd read a book. I'd do the reading. But if possible, I was for sure buying the Cliff's Notes so that I could identify all the symbolism that I was going to have to, you know, what does this mean? I don't know. The book didn't tell me. I promise I read it. And so I'd have to buy the Cliff's Notes to get the symbolism and the subtle undertones. And sometimes the Bible's that way for me, too. Sometimes I need some help understanding, connecting the dots and, you know, getting the pieces together. And so I have a few resources that I go to for that. And in those resources, I realized that, once again, I'd miss some really significant symbolism in this story. Here's what I read. Rahab's family will be spared because the house will be marked by a red or scarlet cord. Just as the Israelites were spared from the plagues of the firstborn by marking their homes with red blood. The spies gave her a red cord that's supposed to mark her house to save her household. And just a few verses earlier, she'd mentioned the Red Sea and how God dried it up for the Israelites to walk across. And they remembered the red blood painted across their door frames. And that means that they're remembering what God did when he saved them and then brought them out of slavery and bondage. And so they remember what God had done. And then they start looking ahead, giving her a red cord, trusting that God is going to continue to work on their behalf. He's going to give them the promised land, and because of that, they befriend the prostitute Rahab. In other words, because of what God has done and will do, I choose to be friends with you. I told you it was going to be practical this morning. When you guys came in, you guys and gals, there was a red string on your chair. Some of you may have noticed it, some not. But if you turn, it's there now, or it fell on the floor. Go ahead and find it, grab it, get it. All right? There's a red string there. I tied one to my watch here, and I want to invite you to put your red string somewhere where you will see it. Maybe you'll tie it to your steering wheel, put it on your coffee pot, no judgment. Somewhere where you will see it regularly. I have this one here for me. I think I'm going to tie one to my steering wheel, so as I'm driving in our new community, especially in the library that I frequent, that I'll see it before I go in, to see my neighbors. So as I'm out and about, I'll be reminded to pray for and engage my neighbors. To pray for and engage my neighbors because of what God has done and will do, I choose to be friends with you. Or because of what God has done and will do, I choose to neighbor you. Maybe, again, you're not going to be best friends, but we can neighbor. Todd and the band are going to come and play, and I want to invite you to just take a moment to consider how you will respond. Maybe that neighbor that came to mind earlier, maybe that's what you need to do. Say, okay, this red string is going to be my reminder to pray for that person. Maybe you're going, I've lived next to my neighbors for 30 years and I still don't know their name. That's going to be super awkward, right? Like, hey, guy, I still don't know. What if that prayer became one for courage to humble yourself and say, hey, man, I'm so sorry. Would you tell me your name again? Maybe the Lord would say, you need to bake cookies for those people. I haven't met a neighbor yet who doesn't like cookies unless they're gluten-free. So you can get a box of gluten-free brownies. They're good even if you don't have to eat gluten-free. There are options. There are ways for you to engage your neighbor. And so I want you to take just a minute to consider how you'll respond and what the Lord might be saying to you today. Maybe it's that you need to tie your red string somewhere, or you're going to pull out your phone and send a text, or just write down how you're going to respond today. They're going to play, give you just a minute, and then we're going to sing a song. But again, please take just a moment to consider what God has done, what you trust that He will do, and because of that, we'll choose to neighbor right now. Thing. God, today as we gather together and sing, we proclaim your goodness. We proclaim that you are mighty to save and you're the one who can move mountains. We proclaim that it's our desire to build our lives upon you because you're trustworthy and you're good. So God, would you help us to look back and remember and see the ways that you have acted through the Bible, in our lives, in our families. Help us to remember well who you are and who you've been. And God, help us to trust that you are still at work in the world and that you have invited us into that story. And because of that, we can walk in courage and live in grace. And so help us, Lord, to be people who represent you well. Help us to extend and to accept invitations. Help us to live lives that glorify you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.